Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the campus grounds of Gillespie Park Elementary School. We invite you to worship, praise, fellowship, and learn of the mighty works and teachings of Christ according to the Bible that's catered to children, teens, and adults. This year's mission statement focuses on determined obedience, where we do just that and do the work as believers in Jesus Christ creatively, accordingly, with fun and an abundance of love. We promise you, visiting us is an experience that you will carry with you for life. God bless you. Hope to see you soon.
Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen. I believe Minister McTillman said it earlier. Don't act like you had a pet rally. Come on, can we put our hands together for the Lord? Amen. You know, it wasn't our alarm clock this morning. He woke us up. Amen. He's the one that takes care of us. Amen. He's the one that makes sure we have breath in our body, the ability to move out. There's somebody laying in a bed that wish they could clap their hands. There's somebody that wish they could say hallelujah. No matter what you're going through, there's somebody that wish they had your situation going on in their lives. Amen. I know it might not be how you want it to be, but I'm here to tell you that it could be worse. Amen. Amen. Come on. Let's praise the Lord. One more. Amen. 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 Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11. I might have to read this in another version for everyone. Ezekiel chapter 11. We read verses 14 through 20. Amen. We read verses 14 through 20. Amen. Amen. I didn't hear too much confidence when we were reading these scriptures earlier. Amen. So I'm gonna help out. We're gonna look at just specifically two verses here. Amen. Although we're gonna preach and go encompass a few more verses, we're gonna concentrate on two verses here, verses 16 and 17. Amen. Verses 16 and 17. Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. Once you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It says, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people, and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, thank you for this time. God, thank you for this moment. God, thank you for who you are and for what you do. Lord, we ask that you'd open up our ears and our hearts and our minds, that we would receive what thus saith the Lord here in this place. Allow your word to be shared in a way that you would have it to be done, God. For God, we need you and can't make it without you. It's about you and not about us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. You may be seated. Here I have the message version. And I'm going to start at verse 14. It says, the answer from God came back. Son of man, your brothers, I mean the whole people of Israel who are in exile with you, are the people of whom the citizens of Jerusalem are saying, they're in a far country, far from God. This land has been given to us to own. Well, tell them this. This is your message from God, the Master. True, I sent you to the far country and scattered you through other lands. All the same, I've provided you a temporary sanctuary in the countries where you've gone. I will gather you back from those countries and lands where you've been scattered and give you back the land of Israel. You'll come back and clean house, throw out all the rotten images and obscene idols. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll cut out your stone heart and replace it with a red-blooded, firm, muscled heart. Verse 20. Then you'll obey my statutes and be careful to obey my commands. You'll be my people. I'll be your God. Amen. I want to go ahead and talk to you today on the subject of God's mercy, even in distress. God's mercy, even in distress. You could look at it as God's soon-to-come mercy, even in our present distress. Here, Ezekiel. Ezekiel is one of the three prophets who are considered to be a prophet priest. He holds both of these titles. Going through it and looking through some of the years and historically some of the things that are mentioned, because Ezekiel is also a book that's pretty much in chronological order. It states a whole lot of different historical facts that allows you to actually pinpoint some dates and different things that are going on in there. Based upon reading in Ezekiel, some theologians believe, as well as I, that Ezekiel started his ministry as far as prophesying at the age of 30 and continued until he was 52. So this 22-year process of what's going on here. For those who have been coming to our Bible study, you'll find Ezekiel is actually the priest prophet during the Babylonian Empire. He's dealing with a people that have gone against God. He's dealing with a people that have getting all caught up on religious rituals instead of actually concentrating on God. And therefore, because of their disobedience and because of their actions, God has allowed the people to be scattered. He's allowed them to be scattered away from Jerusalem, which God has defined as his holy place, where he has his temple and where he says, this is my, he's allowed them to be scattered and away from there. And even in looking at the whole situation, for someone to say that God is their God, it looks like with man's eyes that God's chosen people at this particular time are not being taken care of. Amen. Everybody with me? And so even in looking at 2015, sometimes with the naked eye, we could look at a person, we can look at a situation, we can look at a circumstance, and we could assume that maybe God's not taking care of that person based upon what they're going through. The same thing's happening here in Ezekiel. So Ezekiel begins to pray, and even if you look at this chapter 11, if you looked at the first 13 verses, what happens here in these first 13 verses is that God actually condemns Jerusalem. He's actually speaking against them. He's actually telling them, look, you've messed up. This is what's going to happen to you. This is what's going to go down. This is this. This is this. But yet here then comes to verse 14, and he starts to talk about God's promise of restoration. I want to encourage someone today to let you know that no matter what you're going through, no matter how it looks, God still has mercy in store. No matter how it feels, no matter how lonely it might become at times, that you're never alone, God is still there. Amen. So Ezekiel goes to talk and he says, look, I'm not telling you what I want to say. I'm actually telling you what is being said unto me. If you notice verse 16 and verse 17, both starts off the same. They both start off and they said, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God. Ezekiel is not giving his own interpretation of what's going on, but he's saying, look, I'm giving you what's being given to me. One of the things that I like about looking at verse 16 and verse 17 with him saying that lets us know that, you know, sometimes we got to speak things out aloud. God didn't just bless Ezekiel with a word just for him to actually keep it to himself. He didn't bless Ezekiel with a word for something for him to pray about it. But he said, Ezekiel, I'm giving you a word because I need you to go tell somebody else. open your mouth. Amen. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them, them being God's chosen people, them being the people that God said he was going to take care of. He says, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. That word sanctuary, we can look at sanctuary, we can say, okay, so as a sanctuary, a lot of times people think of this big temple, people think of this big place, but God says, nah, I'm not talking about a sanctuary as in a building, but what I will be to my people is no matter where they are, I'll be a refuge for them. No matter what they're going through, I'll take care of it. See, what the enemy would try to do is to have us to be caught up of based upon not only what we're going through, but also where we are. A lot of times the enemy allows things to happen in our lives. God allows things to happen in our lives that the enemy will emphasize to show us separation. What is it that causes separation? The Bible declares that what things that cause separation from God is sin. And so who sits here without sin? And so if every single one of us have sinned, then that means that there's areas that the devil can emphasize in our life to allow us to believe that we're separated from God. But I believe reading in the Bible that I serve a God who's omnipresent. I serve a God that no matter where I am, there he is also. No matter if I make my bed in heaven, nor if I were to make my bed in hell, God is still there. And so, therefore, could I ever be separated from God? The Bible says, what is it that would ever separate me from the love of God? There's nothing that could separate me from God. And so when the enemy sits there and emphasizes our sin, when he points out our sin, it allows us to feel as though we're separated from him. And in feeling as though we're separated from him, therefore we feel as though, God, where's the mercy for me? God, where's the grace for me? Lord, where's the blessing for me? I'm going through, and now you said you'd never leave me. You said you'd never forsake me, but now I feel all alone. I feel as though I can't make it. I don't know how I'm going to push through my next situation. Nobody else knows how I feel. Woe is me as we go through our situations. But I'm here to tell you, God has mercy even in our present distress. Amen. It says here, not only will he be that refuge in the other countries where they shall come, but he says, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even, not only will I be their refuge, but he says, what I'll do is that I will even gather from the people and assemble them together. It says, you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. He says, look, not only have, because of your disobedience, have I allowed you to be scattered. Not only will I still continue to be your God. No, not only wherever you are, I will also be there as well. But I have a plan for you. I have a plan to call you back to me. I have a plan to gather you back together. I have a plan not only to just call you back and then gather you together, but I have a possession just for you. The Bible lets us know that whatever doesn't kill us makes us stronger. We've gone through what we've gone through because understand what is being promised here by God is not something that God's chosen people had not already heard. We understand that we're now in this particular point in the Babylonian Empire. But way before the Babylonian Empire, way before the God's chosen people had been ruled by the Babylonians, way before King Nebuchadnezzar even came on the scene, God had already given the people the land. It's very simple to take your Bible and turn back to the left and find out in the book of Exodus that when they came out of Egypt, that after 40 years in the wilderness, they went into their promised land. It said it was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a land that he said, no matter how big the giants are there, no matter how bad the other nations are, you will conquer them. The Bible shows us that under King Saul and under King David, that the Israelites were the most powerful that there were at the time. That they conquered everyone. And then came King Solomon. Well, now not only were they all conquerors, but they had all the riches and all the wealth and all the wisdom. They had the land. The land was already theirs. But because of disobedience, they lost it. I want you to know that God doesn't see you as who you think that you are. God sees you as how he created you. God sees you as how the plan he has for your life. If the truth be told, there's a lot of things that we go through and there's a lot of things that we deal with that we're going through and we're dealing with them because of our own disobedience. A lot of things that we complain about today, a lot of things that hurts our feelings today, a lot of things that we're tore up over today are things that we've actually done to ourselves. But just because we've messed up, just because we found ourselves in a place of being uncomfortable, doesn't mean that God's plan is now negated. Because God's plan was not based upon the Israelites. God's plan was based upon his promise. God's promise said, I will take care of my people. You will be my people and I will be your God. You will possess land. You will go out and be conquerors. You are victorious. That's who you are. Why? Because I created you to be that way. And so God says, because of my promise, not because of you, I will show mercy even in your distress. Even in your distress, because I've chosen you. Verse 20 says, well, before we get to verse 20, it says here in 18, and they shall come thither, they shall come here, and they shall take away the detestable things thereof, all the abominations thereof from thence. And so when they come back, they'll remove all the detestable things. They'll move all those things that are against God. What had happened when they had been scattered is that God said, you know, I have a remnant. I have people who have not defiled against me. I have people who have gone, and he said, I'm going to scatter them away because of what has happened in Israel. Now Israel has to go through. And so he allowed detestable things. He allowed abominations. He allowed all kinds of things to be built there. And because they were built there, those that built them had to suffer the consequences. And so he says, I'm going to scatter my chosen people away. See, sometimes when we get separated, sometimes when we get pushed away from where we think we ought to be going, God is allowing it to protect us. He allowed this to happen here for them to be pressed away because there was things that was going to happen in Jerusalem that he said, no, I don't want those that are really about my business to have to deal with it. Anybody ever had some friendships? And you wonder why some friendships ended up being the way that they ended up being? And then you see those friends later on and you say, oh gosh, maybe that's why. God will allow some of your friendships to be severed for a reason. God will allow some things in your life to be cut off for a reason. Because some things ain't no good for you. Amen? Whole nother thing. It says in verse 19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of the flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. That they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people and I will be their God. He says there'll be a changing that's going on. It doesn't mean that physically he took a heart out of their body. It doesn't mean physically that they had a stony heart. But what it means is that they had a hard heart. It means that they were stubborn. It means that they wasn't willing to change their ways. And God says, instead of wasting my time with someone who's not willing to change their ways in the first place, I'll deal with those that are willing to change their heart. I'll deal with those that are willing to admit, yeah, I was wrong in my thought. I was wrong in my process. And I now want to do better. And he says, I'll allow my statutes and my commands. It will be with those folk. Don't we read in the New Testament that it says, I became a new creature. Someone in here today that's giving your life to Christ. You don't have a new body. You have the same body you had before. What's been changed is the way you think. What's been changed is what's now more important in your heart. And so in the same way, he says, if you're willing to change, if you're willing to do something different, then I got something in store for you. But after verse 20, and you start to look at verse 21, you'll see that there's those that aren't willing to change, that there were those that weren't willing to do something different. God says, my mercy is there, and I'm more than willing to give you my mercy, but are you willing to accept it? Are you willing to actually make it what's important to you? Are you willing to make it your priority? We've gone through what we've gone through to get us where we are today. But is this the end of the road? For God's chosen people, God said, yeah, you've gone against me. Yeah, you've messed up. I'll let you be taken into bondage by the Assyrians. I'll let you be taken into bondage by the Babylonians. I'll let you be taken in, who comes next? I'll let you be taken into bondage by the Medo-Persians. I'll let you be taken into bondage by Greece. I'll let you be taken in bondage by Romans. But will you serve me? I have mercy. Mercy that will allow you to endure whatever distress you go through, whatever problems, whatever situations you have going on. I have grace and mercy who's more than sufficient to supply you. I am your God. I've said I'll supply your every need. I am your God. If you desire me, I'll give you all of your wants. I am your God. You won't be by yourself. I'll always be there. I am your God. I am the creator. I am more powerful than anything else that ever comes in your life. But will you serve me? Will you keep my statutes? Will you keep my commands? Will you do what thus saith the Lord? I've come today to share with someone, to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, God's mercy is still there in your present distress. Don't let the enemy fool you with sin. What the enemy does is take something that says a speck and puts a magnifying glass on it. I was talking to somebody earlier this week. They were telling me about their past. And they were telling me about their anger. And they were telling me about all these different things that they have going on and all these different things that's happening in their lives. And when you look at the situation with the naked eye, it's a very stressful situation. But I think one of the things that helped me out in life, I want to share with you today, is that I share it with them. Don't let somebody pull you off your square. If this is my block, if this is my area, if this is what God has blessed me with, this ain't nobody else's block. This is mine. This is my mountaintop. It ain't nobody else's mountaintop. Can't nobody else get, even if somebody else was to stand on this mountaintop, it ain't theirs. It's mine. And so when I say don't let anybody pull you off your square, don't let somebody else's anger, don't let somebody else's actions, don't let somebody else's comments get you into a place that you step out of who you are to try to be somebody else. Don't let some other desire that you might have, some other attention that you might want. Don't let any of that pull you off of your square. Because once something has the ability to pull you off of your square, they've won. Now let's be very honest. There's inanimate objects that have the ability to pull us off of our square if we allow them. Pastor, what are you talking about? Alcohol can pull me off of my square. An inanimate object that has no intelligence, it has no ability to control anything unless I allow it. Alcohol does not automatically show up at my house. Alcohol is not free. I actually have to take the resources that God has blessed me with to go purchase it and misuse it to a place that it will pull me off of my block. Brother Brian's upset at me. Brother Brian's mad at me. Brother Brian is saying all kinds of craziness and all kinds of stuff out of his mouth. I would have to allow Brother Brian's comments to be magnified enough in my life to pull me off of my square. They say I'm not handsome enough. They say I'm not pretty enough. They say I'm not beautiful. I have to allow somebody else's comments to beat me down, to say I'm not smart enough, to say I can't, to constantly hear don't, to constantly hear you never will, to pull me off of my block to keep me from being who I am. God's mercy is strong enough in my present distress, for he has a promise for me. I can look back to his examples through history where his chosen people constantly went against him, where they were constantly disobedient, where they constantly did the wrong things. But God said, yet will I still keep my promise. God has made a promise. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God has made a promise to you. He's made a promise that he'll always be your God. He's made a promise that he'll always be there. He's made a promise that he'll take care of your battles. He'll fight your battles. He's made a promise to say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Regardless of what they say against you, regardless of how they come against you, I will still be your God. There's a promise that he's made, a promise that was made upon the cross when blood was shed, that after 3 days of laying in a tomb, he got up with all power in his hand and he said, I promise you, I'll be the mediator between God and you. I'll stand in place of your sin. I'll stand in place of where you're not clean. I'll stand in place of where they talk about you, so that when God looks at you, he'll see Jesus. He's made a promise. A promise that he'll keep. A promise that he won't get rid of. A promise that will always be there. But will you allow situations to pull you off your square? Or will you stand tall? God's soon to come mercy even in my present distress. Can we put our hands together for the Lord? This story here is an encouraging story. Somebody might look at it and get caught up in the midst of reading it all and say, gosh, you know, God was real harsh on his people. He was doing all of this. But in the midst of all that condemning, in the midst of the judgment, in the midst of all of that, God has a few verses nestled here in chapter 11 to say, but yet will I still be your God. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's happening in your lives. Some folks sitting here today have shared some things that's happening, have shared some things that's going on. I don't care what the landlord say, God's got it.
Amen. You better know it. Amen.
I don't care what the judge says, God's got it. I don't care how anybody else looks at it, God's got it. I don't care how it feels down there in them woods, but God's got it. He'll take care of it. But are you willing to do your part? Regardless of what the doctor says, God's got it. Regardless of how it feels, God's got it. His mercy is stronger than anything the devil could ever do. If you just catch the fact that the devil doesn't have the power to do it, this is my block. The only way I get off, can't nobody pull me off this block. I actually have to take the step. Anybody ever seen a fight before? Anybody ever seen a fight? Okay, let's talk about professional fight. Anybody ever seen a boxing match? A boxing match, MMA. And so they started off and they got one person in this corner and they got another person in this corner and you got the announcer. And the announcer, you know, has this charismatic voice and they say the name all kinds of way and all kinds of stuff. Let's see, Tony, come here. Ruben, come here. Ruben, stand over there. Tony, stand over there. And then the announcer comes up, he says, and in this corner, Ruben Torres. He's a Duke fan standing at approximately 5-ish. He's got a current record of 20-0. Ways. Ish. And they come over here and he says, and in this corner, we have brother Tony Staten. He's a Carolina fan. He stands 6-ish. He weighs ish. He's 20-0. And they come together. They come together. See, I didn't push them. They had to take a step. Did y'all see that? And they come together and we want a clean fight. We nah, 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 and they touch gloves. And then they go back to their corners, right? And so then what happens is that they ring the bell. And normally when they ring the bell, both fighters come out of the corners and they meet in the center of the ring to fight. But what if when the bell rings, they stayed in their corners? You've paid pay-per-view and they ring the bell and they stay in their corners. There wouldn't be a fight, would there? So the enemy gets us all hyped up and he calls out our name and he calls out our past and he says what we've been through and he gets us all hyped up and he calls out our name and he calls out our past and he calls what we've been through. And then he gets the bell to ring. And then when the bell rings, what if we just stayed in our corners? Y'all can be seated. What if we just stayed in our corners? I don't know what you're fighting. I don't know what you're going through. But are you allowing it to pull you off your block? Or are you strong enough to stand? Do you know how many times that Bible says wait upon the Lord? Instead of trying to go out there and do it yourself. Do you know how many times it says wait upon the Lord? You know how many things we've messed up because we've tried to fix it ourselves? You know how many steps further back we've taken because we've tried to fix it ourselves instead of just letting God? It's personal decision time, amen? Amen. If you're able to stand, please do. We've learned here today that based upon Scripture, God's mercy is more than enough to take care of our present situation. The distress, the hurt, the pain, no matter what it is, God's mercy is strong enough to handle it. No matter the inadequate feeling that we might have, whatever it is, God's mercy is enough to help us, to give us what we need to endure, to make it. During today's personal decision, would you be one to say, yeah, I need to focus more on Him than on what's going on around me? Would you be one to say, yeah, I see myself not standing on my block. I see myself allowing situations and circumstances. I see myself what's being said around me. I see fire and I see flames all around me, and I want to get off of my block, and I want to go somewhere else, but the block is my mercy. The block is where God has said, this is your spot. I got you. No matter how it looks, just stay right there and watch the Lord. Stay true to God and watch the Lord. Yeah, yeah, it might get hot, but you won't burn. Yeah, 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 it might be uncomfortable, but you won't die. But those that wait upon the Lord, He shall renew their strength. They'll mount up. Would you be willing to make that personal decision to stay on your block? Would you be willing to make that personal decision to say, you know what, these distresses, this all this mess around me, I'm going to stay and do what it is the Lord would have for me to do? The grace of God. Would you be willing to admit that God's mercy is more than enough? If that's your personal decision, would you come around the altar?